God is good. And all the time. I like that. We got a hum going up here somewhere. Sorry about that, guys. Let's try that again, just for Eric. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Wow, that's amazing. Praise God. Praise God. I invite you to turn in your bulletin as I welcome you to First Church today. Thank you so very much for being here. This is going to be an amazing worship service for you. I just have faith in that. We Dave is going to help us out with a little bit of just a few things that happened at annual conference, and they were great things as well. And then our youth just got home yesterday from their mission trip, and they are going to share with you a great trip. And so I am really excited to hear them again today. And just again, guys, thank you so much, both of you, for being here today. So if you would turn to your connection card, if you would fill that out, put your name, address, all your contact information, make sure you look at this opposite side. My decision today, I'd like information on, I'd like to serve in ministry, various things like that. Please make sure you take advantage of this sheet to communicate with us. We would greatly appreciate that. If you're visiting with us today, we put a special welcome out to you. We thank you so much for your presence, and we celebrate that. And if you especially would put your contact information here so that we can greet you properly and say thank you for being here, we would greatly appreciate it. And if you are visiting with us today, that will be your offering to us, to put that in the basket later on in the service as it comes by you. We would greatly appreciate that. Many important announcements. Please do not discard this. There are many important announcements, so make sure you touch base with that and compare it to your calendar. Two things that I want to lift up that are in the announcements this morning. Do not forget all the summer programs that have come together from the community churches. I'm telling you, folks, for the first time since I have been here in Warsaw, the churches are working together in a big way to make things happen for our children and our youth. So please take advantage of these things. We have Heights Point that picks up and drops off here at the church. I can't remember the times on that for sure. I believe it's in your bulletin there. Also, the First Baptist Church has Beach Blast, I believe is what it's called, something like that, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday all day. Make sure you pay attention to these. If you are 14 and plus in the A-plus program, you can earn credit points for that, everybody here, by being a junior counselor. So if you are listening to me now or know of someone in that category, make sure you let them know. Also, pay attention to our Galactic Blast. Maybe that's where I got the blast. Maybe that's what it was. Galactic Blast. Here, an insert in your bulletin. Pay attention to that. And also, Cliff has written you a study guide based on the youth sermon, and scripture this week. And as Idella will say later on, as she talks about joys and concerns, of course, this is my language, make sure you take this and your joys and concerns in your bulletin home. Keep it by your prayer chair. It gives you a devotional guide for the week, and also many people that need your concerns and your prayers. So are you ready for an awesome worship service today?
Yes.
Great, great. We are excited to be here. And the first thing off, we're going to invite Dave Bollinger up here. He was our representative of this church at annual conference, and he has a great report for us. Thank you, Dave.
I'd like to begin by thanking all of you for sending me to annual conference as your representative. It was a pleasure to go, a pleasure to attend, and I do feel like it was an opportunity for spiritual and other growth. Very pleased that Cynthia was able to go along with me and to participate as well. Primary messages from the conference were that our church is healthy, but we cannot be complacent. There is still a lot of work to do, and we need the change if we're going to grow. That change needs to be more of a mission orientation, and to ensure that our actions are saying we are Christians. And by our actions saying we are Christians, they ask, are we feeding the hungry? Are we clothing the poor? Are we caring for others? You know, are we loving our neighbors? You know, Eric focused on Mike Slaughter's sermon the last 2 weeks. His message was very clear and very good. Another part of the message that was coming across is that small groups work. And small groups, they said, were for spiritual growth, whereas the larger groups are for fellowship. And every church, as we know, needs the fellowship. But we also need the small groups. And it was emphasized that every one of us should be involved in at least one small group. Go on into that a little bit more. Bishop Snazy, our bishop, led the conference, of course, and we're very fortunate to have him in the Missouri conference. A very impressive, knowledgeable, deep-thinking individual. He has authored several books. I recommend them. There's also several articles by him on the conference website. I recommend that conference website to you. It's a good source of information. They talked about the Healthy Church Initiative. That includes pastoral leadership, lay leader development, weekend consultations, and pastors being teachers, consultants, and coaches for other pastors. I'd like to mention Eric has been to pastor leader development, one, and he's also involved, in coaching and helping other pastors. Within our conference, we have 1,200 new worshipers in last year's new starts, churches that were just started last year. So we're very pleased with the 1,200 number. There's 5 more new starts planned for next year. Of course, while we think about the new starts and so on, we realize that there were 13 churches closed last year. So, some areas are growing and some are not. Hispanic ministries, we have fewer churches involved in Hispanic ministries, but yet attendance is up from last year. So that's a positive. Overall in the conference, we had 385 churches with lower attendance. We had 312 churches increase attendance, and 168 of those churches increased by 5% or more. So, average is okay, but there's still a lot of work within the conference. As indicated earlier, and it was repeated throughout the conference, mission work is essential. We need to be, the hands of Christ. We need to feed the hungry, clothe the poor. Talked about Haiti. The Missouri Conference raised $900,000 for Haiti. I think we can be proud of that. And we can be proud that UMCOR was on the ground in Haiti 3 days after the quake. And for those of you who are not familiar with UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief, they are a tremendous organization that serves the world and are something we need to be very proud of. The conference talked about the Festival of Sharing and how important it is to support it. Talked about Mozambique as our partner conference in Africa, and asked that churches consider adopting a village in Mozambique and tracking and following and supporting that village. talked about churches in Missouri buying, you know, chickens, pigs, and so on for villages, digging wells, and building chapels. Nothing but nets program, $50,000 was raised last year from our conference. On the business side of the conference agenda, the budget is again this year zero growth. The conference is not raising, you know, anything, and, you know, living on what they have. But to achieve that, they've eliminated one district superintendent, consolidated those two districts. They're using reserve funds to fund one of our programs, and they're keeping a position vacant. You know, a lot of us in attendance wondered if we weren't being careful with the money, but maybe too careful. I always hate to see the reserve funds go away, for instance, and real challenge on the district superintendent that now takes two districts. We had the opportunity to hear great sermons. Mavis had told me we would hear lots of great sermons, and we did. I'd also like to add, though, we have the opportunity to hear some very good sermons here as well. And a lot of what I was hearing at conference, I hear from Eric as well. We hear from Eric as well. And I'd like to thank Eric. Another thing the conference gave us was an opportunity to learn about programs and things that the conference supports and does. I was most impressed with the Lydia Patterson Institute in El Paso, Texas, 6 blocks from the Mexican border, 6 blocks and a river away from Juarez, the highest crime city in the world. 70% of the students are from Mexico, Mexican citizens who walk, you know, across the border and the 6 additional blocks onto the school. Of those students that start as freshmen at Lydia Patterson, 90% graduate from the high school. 90% of those who graduate go on to college, and 90% of those who go on to college graduate from college. Our conference Missouri Conference invested $68,000 in the Lydia Patterson Institute last year. The seniors graduating from Lydia Patterson earned $2.1 million in scholarships to go on to college. And the return on our investment in those young people, you know, through college and returning to Mexico and to jobs and places in the U.S. is phenomenal. Type of things I've really appreciated hearing about and seeing. Workshops frequently mentioned accountability, both small group and individual. We heard that, you know, during what Eric's presentation of Reverend Slaughter's sermon. But I guess it came home to me a little bit more because I am involved in a small group, perhaps not taking it as seriously as I should. Milda keeps working at me to be more accountable, doesn't she, Debbie? And we need to be, both personally and in our small group. To further drive home accountability, and this was not in his sermon, this was in a side conversation. A pastor was explaining to me how Reverend Slaughter's Ginghamburg Church handles membership. As Eric spoke, 5,000 people attend there every Sunday. That's up from 50 people when he started the church. But with 5,000 attending, there's only 1,300 members. And to be a member in his church, you have to attend a 13-week course and pass. And I gather there's an actual test, folks. You have to be involved in a small group. You have to have a service project outside of church. And you have to tithe. And, you know, there are times I wondered, you know, how much further I need to go to be an accountable Christian. My notes from the conference are on our church website. The notes are fairly extensive. You can learn a lot about the conference by looking at them. I think it's only 10 pages. And then there's a lot of conference information and other good information on the moumethodist.org website of our conference. Thank you again for allowing me to represent you. Thank you.
As you've heard me say, you know, it was a conference. There were times you needed candy and coffee to keep you awake. I will admit that. But, you know, as I'm well aware, we need to be careful of the pride issue. I do want to lift up, there were times that Dave and I talked, and we just wish we could bring all of you to conference and let you see and experience, you know, one or two, ten, what I can't remember what it was, particular things, and you would have really been proud not only to be a Christian, but also to be a United Methodist in the Missouri Conference. And I want you to keep that in context when I say that. But it was really probably one of the most powerful conferences I've had in several years. And so I thank you for that. One other thing before we continue with our prelude this morning, Shanda Miller has set up Facebook for our church. And so if you're interested in that, make sure that you search, I believe it's First Church, one word, Warsaw. So FirstChurch, one word, Warsaw is our Facebook address. And you are more than welcome to do that. Make sure you thank Shanda for that. And although I've forgotten what it is, I'm on Twitter as well. So you're welcome to follow me if you choose. So don't lift that up very often. So thank you so much for being here. Are you ready for an amazing worship service? Yeah. Awesome. Get us going, Dorothy.
Stand as we lift up our praise to God with some songs of praise. The words will be on the screen in front.
Let's get our voices going this morning as we sing praises to God.
Glory shine.
Holy God, we come before you today to celebrate your presence, Lord, in our life. And although we understand you are here today with us, we want to be deliberate in asking for your presence in Jesus' name, God. Come upon us. Wash us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Heal us mentally and physically. Heal us spiritually, God, as we gather together to worship you. Fill us so full of your Spirit that you can't help but be seen in all of those that are around us, God. Help us, Lord, by the time we leave this place today, when we walk out and we go to lunch, or tomorrow when we go to work, wherever it is, God, you are still oozing out of our pores from this worship service. Help us, Lord, because of you, bring healing to all those that are around us. Maybe they will experience wholeness for the first time. And today, God, maybe that will be us. We ask, God, that you anoint us fully in Jesus' name. Make us one with you, Lord, and one with each other. In Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. Amen. time. Here we go. I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am
not very good, but I can dance. Please be seated.
Okay, it's the kids' turn to come down, and Ignite is going to present the kids' corner this morning.
I love Jesus.
Repeat with me. I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus, how about you?
I love
Come on now.
Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Good morning. How are you guys? Hey, do you know what the youth group did this week? We went to Tennessee, you're right. We went to Memphis, Tennessee, and in Memphis, Tennessee, they like sweet tea. Woo! We ordered tea and we found out real quick, if you don't want sweet tea, you better say, can you please make it unsweet, because they like it sweet in Tennessee. It was great, but it was really, really hot. Woo, it was hot. But I want to talk a little bit about what we did. Now, the youth are going to talk during the sermon time about our actual work site, but I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what we learned while we were there in Tennessee working with the different people who live there. And you notice that we all have on our shirts. And Gabby, will you stand up and show them the back of your shirt? Show the kids the back of your shirt. It says, Fisher of Men. Fisher of Men. Thank you, Gabby. What do you think that means, Fisher of Men? Have you heard about that in the Bible before? When Jesus talked about how we should go and fish for men or fish for people? Have you heard that before? Well, Pastor Dirks, he's going to read that scripture in a minute. And this is what we learned about that. That when we have Jesus living inside of us, we need to go out and we need to share that with other people. Because if we keep it all to ourselves, then that's not good. That's not what Jesus wanted us to do. He wanted us to tell everybody about him and how much he loves us. So we learned four important things, and I'm going to have the youth group help me. Okay, on the very first day, we learned that we should be what, guys? The bait. When you go fishing, if you don't put bait on your hook, are you going to catch anything? Maybe a stick, but that's not very much fun, is it? So, and I catch a lot of sticks when I go fishing. But yeah, you got to be the bait. When you have Jesus living inside of you, you have to be the bait. And the bait means that you people want to be around you. Just like those fish, when they see the bait on the hook, they want to go to it. Well, when you're a Christian, we need to live like we have Jesus living inside of us. And the people want to just be around us. So you gotta be the bait, and you gotta live like Jesus wants us to live so that people will come and be around us. Now, the second day we learned we have to be the hook. That's right. Can you catch fish without a hook? You did? Awesome. But yeah, can you catch a fish without a hook? No, you've got to have a hook on the end of that line to catch the fish. So once you've baited the people and they want to hang out with you, guess what you have to do? You have to tell them about Jesus. You have to tell them about who Jesus is and what he did for us and how much he loves us. You got to hook them. Now, the third day, we learned what? We got to catch them. That's right. So we can tell people about Jesus, and we can act like we have Jesus in our heart, but we need to catch them, and we need to help them become Christians. We need to invite them to church. We need to go drive to their homes and pick them up and bring them to church and youth group and Sunday school and vacation Bible school. We need to catch them. And the fourth day, what did we learn we need to do, guys? Yeah, we need to release them. If we keep them all to ourselves, then those people will never be able to go back out into the world and be the bait for other people and to tell other people about who Jesus is. So we learned we've got to be the bait. We've got to be the hook. We have to catch people, and then we'll release them out into the world so that they can start the whole process all over again and make more Christians and let more people know how much Jesus loves them. So this summer, as you go through the summer, when school starts this fall, just think about going fishing for people, just like Jesus told us to do. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for today. I thank you for our mission trip and all of our youth and adults and for their safe trip in Memphis, God. And we thank you for this church and how much they support our youth and these children. And I just pray that you would protect these kids. And as they grow up, they can continue to make more disciples of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's get our cups and we're going to collect change for missions.
The children are invited to collect money for missions at this time, and you can remain seated while we sing Pass It On, page number 572. Revelations, it says that our prayers go up to God and become like sweet incense for Him. It's important for us to remember our loved ones and ourselves and those that we worship with here every Sunday and get to a quiet place and remember them in prayer. There are many names listed in the bulletin for you, all sorts of people to pray for. We'd ask that you'd lift up in prayer many people that are hurting, that have health issues. There's a list there of everyone that is in the nursing home and those that are serving in the armed forces.
Hi, Della. I have a joy. May I lift up a joy?
You certainly may.
Thank you. I know they're going to be royally embarrassed, but I'm going to do this anyway. If everyone turn and look right up here. Now, those in the back may not be able to see, but Ashley and Alexis are here today. Those of you who have been around this church know that we have been praying for Ashley and their family for a long time, and now they have the wonderful miracle and all the ups and downs that go along with that wonderful miracle. Amen? But they say that she's still kind of showing some preemie symptoms, and so we can't all of us share holding her yet, all right? But you can say hi and see how beautiful she is. So make sure you welcome Ashley and Alexis back.
We also need to remember to thank God for all the wonderful answers to prayer. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to be here to worship you this morning. We praise you for your power and your might, and we praise you for your love and your mercy to us. We thank you for listening and answering when we pray. We're grateful to be called your sons and daughters and to have the hope of an eternal home in heaven with you. We have concerns for our friends and our families this morning. We'd ask you to help, to heal them, and to comfort each one that needs comforting. You know them each by name, and you're more than able to do all that we ask. We also lift up in prayer our nation, our state, our community. We ask for your guidance for our leaders. Help them find solutions to the many issues we're facing. We ask your continued blessings on us as a nation. We pray for the many servicemen that are serving around the world. Give them your hand of protection and your comfort as they face many hardships so far from home. Help us as your followers to be aware of opportunities to speak to others of your love and your plan for our salvation. Please help us find ways to spread the good news. Help us to focus this morning on your word and your message for us. Help us to learn how we can be pleasing to you and to serve you better. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Idella. Our scripture for today is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Now, for those who may not be familiar with the Bible, is Matthew in the Old or the New Testament? New Testament. As a matter of fact, you can turn to the last third of your Bible, and it is in the beginning. It is the first book of the New Testament. I invite you, I hope you either brought your Bible. I hope you brought your own Bible, but if you didn't, there is a pew Bible there that you can turn to. Chapter 4, verse 19. Once you find that, if you would stand with me, if you're able, close that Bible on your finger and raise it high above your head, and let's say our Bible pledge today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. There you are. Huh? Yeah, come on down. Well, as all of you know, the youth made it home safe and sound from their mission trip. And this church needs to know that, first of all, you know, I know she's my wife, and I hope you'll forgive me for being carrying favorites here. No, seriously, she is everything in every church that we have ever been a pastor family of. Everything that she touches turns to gold, and I just give God praise for her ministry and how God uses her and her willingness to use those gifts. And then we have the leadership here. Guys, leaders, sponsors, raise your hand and just wave them. Yeah, yeah. And then 36 youth, folks, 36 youth. Wave your hands, youth. Yeah. You're going to see each and every one of them. They were Jesus' hands and feet
and they also represented us, and they were our hands and feet in Memphis. And you have an excellent thing that you're going to see here. And Jamie, I'll just give it to you and let you take off.
Good morning. It's good to be back home in Warsaw. It is hot in Memphis. It's hot here, but it's really hot in Memphis. And we noticed when we were driving into town, everybody drives normal in Warsaw. Yeah. Of course, when you have six vehicles driving through Memphis and we're all trying to stay together, it was a little chaotic, but we did it. It was awesome. I do want to say that for a full week, we have all had to get up pretty early, and we've been up really late, and we've been really tired. And for these youth and adults to be here, and they were here first service too, on Sunday morning to share with you, I think is a true miracle. So I want to thank them for being here to share with you this morning. I'm actually going to let them tell you about the week. But I do want to say that I was at 13 churches. Did I hear that right from Bev? Like 13 United Methodist youth groups from the state of Missouri at this work camp. 202 people total, all living together under one roof, sharing showers and food. But we all got along great at different times. Yes, thank you. Eric. But it was awesome. We had 47 there out of the 202, and let's just say we made our presence known most of the time because we were definitely excited about being there. But no, the youth were so awesome. You know, you never know when you get a group of people together, and that's adults too, in a situation like that. You don't know what kind of work you're going to do till you get there. You don't know what sleeping arrangements or shower arrangements you're going to have. And these guys were troopers. They just did it. And by Friday morning, they were pros at it. And so I'm really proud of them. They represented our church in an awesome way. I think what I'm going to do, because there were 47 of us, we had to split into three different work groups. A lot of the churches that had like 4 to 12, they all went together to work every day. But we separated into three groups, which was great because that meant more work could be done in Memphis. So I'm going to bring them up one work group at a time, and one of the youth from each of the work groups is going to share with you what we did. So the first group, I think I'll pull up, is Gary's group. It was Gary and Randy. Dana and Jennifer were the sponsors, and so fewer youth on that work team. Come on up, and they will share with you what they did.
The house that we worked at belonged to a woman named Janice and her son Jermaine. He's 23. The house originally belonged to her mother, who passed away, and they've been living there ever since. Their house had been flooded, so there was flood damage about 4 feet high. The first day we got there, we had to take all the water-damaged furniture and belongings to the curb. It was really sad because these two boys kept coming back and collecting all the furniture and taking it back to their house. We had to tear down the walls. We re-insulated everything. We hung up sheetrock and we mudded. We tore up their floor, and it took us 3 days because their floor was made out of these little planks about this big, and we had to tear them up one by one. The last day that we worked, Janice had been staying at a hotel, so we went to see her after we were done with our work at their house. We all circled in prayer, and we sang to each other, and she gave us each about 3 hugs. Does that sound right? Yeah. We also made her a cross out of her floor, and we all signed it and gave it to her. You know, we took 1 week out of our summer. That's all it took to change Janice and Jermaine's lives. And I think that in the process of doing that, they changed ours too. And that's it.
Yeah.
Second here. The last day that we met with Janice was pretty neat, and we got out of the three vehicles to meet her under the motel area, and everybody got hugs, and then we did a little song with her, and she cried all the way through it, and we cried, and then we got hugs again. And I'm not going to embarrass him, but certain ones of these got, as Sam said, the third hug. And we have one guy that she calls Heartthrob. And I don't think I've shared with all of them, but we talked with her. Sam and I talked with her on the way home last night, or yesterday afternoon. And I talked with her again last night, and she just kept thanking us. And she's going to finish the cross, guys. She's going to put varnish on it, and she's going to hang it on her wall. And I might point out to you that it wasn't hot down there. It was like 85 degrees. That was when we got up. And it went to 100 and 101, 102. Kerry said that, you know, he wears overalls a lot, and the only thing that was dry was right down on the cuffs, right? Let me practice something here. Drink water, drink water, drink water.
It's hot.
We did that about every 30 minutes, and our group one day went through 4 igloos of water. So it was hot. From a personal note, I was driving in this morning, and I go like, you know what, Gary, you are the oldest person there. And when I got up this morning, I felt like it. But I'd point out that somebody that needs our prayers is Beb Bomer. She runs these camps, and guys, she's 6 months younger than I am, and I have no idea. Friday, what does she do? Took off for New Orleans, and she's starting another camp today. And I don't know whether we could start another one today or not, but I just like you know that this is an awesome group of kids and leaders. I don't want to add down with those three people. And we just appreciate going and you guys supporting us because we couldn't have gone without you, and we couldn't have gone without that lady right there.
I just want you all to know we've just had an awesome, awesome week. And these kids have been phenomenal. And for most of us who sit in this air-conditioned sanctuary and we're very comfortable and we have dry clothes on, not wet, it's very easy for us to think that this is what Jesus is doing for us. But I think in Jamie's kids' lesson this morning, you know, what Jesus was teaching, taught us, and is teaching us each day, that we are to go out among the masses and be his hands and his feet. And these kids did that, and you all should be very proud of your kids.
The next team was Dennis and Carrie, Courtney and Deb. They were the adult sponsors for that team, and so I'm going to ask them to come up, and I believe Daniel's going to speak, and then Chelsea has something to say too. So come on up.
Okay, well, we worked on this lady... Jackie, she had 2 kids, a girl who's 11 and a boy who's 13, and her husband. And something I found out about this family when we first got there is they don't have ordinary pets. They don't have dogs and cats. They have turtles and birds. And one turtle wasn't a little cute turtle. It was a big cute turtle. So Paul was over there in his wheelchair petting its head all day. But the backside of their house, their gutter had fallen down, so the water was just draining down and rotting all the wood. So we had to cut all that out and redo the backside of the house. And that was causing mold to grow on the inside, so we had to re-drywall it. The floor in the kitchen was rotting, so we had to tear that all up and re-put it down. And then we scraped all the paint off the house, repainted the whole thing. Did the same thing with all the railings and She even painting her concrete sidewalks. And then in the front of the house, we pulled up all the shrubs and made a new flower bed for her.
What me, Cheyenne, and Dallas did wasn't exactly part of our mission, but this little girl we met, her name was Charlzetta. She was very sweet, and for her birthday, all she wanted was her room painted pink, and they couldn't afford it. So we went to Walmart and bought purple, pink, and white paint, painted her room, and went and got her a matching comforter and sheets. She was very excited, and we saw God through that experience because we felt that we were doing what we were meant to do. And we have something else to say. If anybody knows what it's like to be around 36 kids that love to talk and be crazy, you know what Jamie does. She has a lot of patience for all she does. We love and respect it for her. Thank you. And thank you to all the other adults that kept us safe. We'd like to present this shirt to Jamie.
Read it, you guys.
You don't have to be crazy to work here. They'll train you.
I love it.
Yay. You know, I like a little bit of chaos. I love it. Thank you guys very much. Thank you. Awesome. Any adults from this group, do you want to say something? Yeah, come on up, Deb.
This is my first opportunity to go, and I was so excited about going, and I was still excited on the way home. I had a really great time, and we had another opportunity to go on the last day because we finished our job early. We got done on Wednesday, so they had to find more work for us to do. So they split us up, sent all of the great skilled men. We were all skilled workers, but, you know, skilled in our own ways. They sent all the men, the strong, you know, workers that were certified on all their little tools. They went and helped Gary's group the last day. That was their power surge. We sent our power surge on. And then the rest of us got to go with Mickey and Jamie's group to a church. It was the Prince of Peace Baptist Church, Missionary Baptist Church, that had, it was a brand new, I don't know how many years old, but brand new, late 80s, but it was, they had the same exact ceiling. I commented, they had all the same, everything in their church. It was a beautiful church, and it had flooded. A levee had broken, and the pastor and some of the elders in the church were in the building. And they started seeing water. They were having a prayer meeting, and they started seeing water coming in under a door wherever they were in the church. And they went out to look and see, and the water was just pouring in. In 15 minutes, their church was flooded, and they were trapped on the inside. Their cars were completely covered with water. They couldn't get out the front door. And so this is what had happened to their church. And within 15 minutes, the water had receded and had completely done its business on their beautiful church. And when we got there, we found out that the contractor who had been working on it up to that time, it had happened in May, like May 15th or something, and the contractor that had been working on the church, they'd come in already, and they'd done with the drywall what we were doing in the other house. But they had just left. Everything was just pulled out of all the rooms and just piled in a hallway. The contractor's wife had had a heart attack the day before, and he had walked away, we don't know for how long. And then some gentleman had come in that knew whether or not he was going to get even paid for the work that he was doing, and just told us we had to do something because the pastor had had two strokes already in the last year. And when he walked in the building, he just would hang his head and walk out. And he just couldn't, he was just ready to give up. And so when we got there, we found his pastor's study piled up. This what had been a beautiful pastor study with oak, you know, built-in cabinetry and everything, and all this wonderful furniture was just piled high with everything imaginable that the contractors had just thrown in there. And then sheetrock dust, they had sanded the sheetrock without covering anything, and the sheetrock dust was covering all of his books, his lifelong memories. And there was still water in some of the base of some of this cabinetry since May. mold was growing everywhere. And Robert Riggs isn't here today, but we were like, we want the pastor's study. So my group, there were some kids, and they said they wanted to help in there. So we made it our goal to finish and clean up his entire study that day. And he came in then and spent some time with all the kids. It was absolutely marvelous. You'll see, and maybe someone else can tell something about how he spent so much time with our kids. And he read us some stories. We had all of his personal effects were in this room. We had to go through them. We found all the blueprints for the church, all of his documents, everything. The IRS, everything was destroyed, all of the tax records and everything. So we went through them piece by piece, like the Dead Sea Scrolls. I felt like I was taking apart the Dead Sea Scrolls with a penknife. We found a spatula, a little, metal kind of icing spreader thing in the drawer, and we were taking that and taking apart every piece of paper that was in there, covered with mold, to find what we needed to keep and what we had to throw away. So we went through this piece by piece by piece and made stacks. And then we laid it outside on the grass so it would dry. And we just had all of his life laid out on the grass behind this church so it could dry, so we could put it into some kind of a, and we had to find something to put it in. So we got it all. I know I'm taking lots of time, but it was so moving. I was overwhelmed. I wanted to stay, and I'm ready to go back. I was just overwhelmed. And so we got it cleaned up. We dusted everything. The kids took stuff off the shelves. We dusted it all. We put all his books back. He came in and talked to us about his favorite book, one book out of all of those books that he made sure was saved. That's another story. He asked me about it. And then he read us all these stories that he had written. And it was just overwhelming. But we got it all cleaned up. We rearranged his furniture, cleaned it up, shampooed his carpet, all of this in like half a day. And the rest of the group was cleaning up the entire hallway where you couldn't even walk through. It was clean, the carpet was shampooed, and he walked in to his pastor's study, and he was overwhelmed. He had to walk back out, and he kept saying to us, "I've never seen anyone like you before in my life. Where do you guys come from? What is this? I've never seen anyone like you." And he was still at our van as we were leaving saying, "I'll never forget you. I'll never forget you. I've never seen anyone like you." And he just was overwhelmed. So this is the kind of thing. And Prince of Peace Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm ready to go back.
I'm not going to do a lot, but I would like to have the youth back me up. We're not going to do drink water. But if they'll finish this for me, then I guess we'll be done. Every time I look,
I see your face.
Dennis is our singer on these trips. That's great. The final group was my group and Holly Colton, who had to work today. She was so bummed. She wanted to be here so bad. And then Mickey Lane, who has a family gathering. She was here for service. And we were labeled the unskilled group. We think we have many gifts and talents, and we're okay with that label, aren't we, girls? Come on up, girls. Those other groups, they were there all week. We got to tour Memphis. We were at a different site every day of the week. We got to meet great people, and we did great things. We don't need to know how to run any of those tool things. We can do our own skills. So, Caitlin, right? Caitlin and Candace are going to share a little bit about what we did.
Okay, Monday morning we went to a neighborhood center and we went down to the garage and sorted out clothing and we sorted out books. And then they came down and told us they were going to take it to Goodwill or something. And so we had to pack everything back up and then we took it down there, and we got all the trash bags out of the back of the van. And then Tuesday, we went to the food bank, and we unpacked boxes of food. I mean, there was like a bunch. And then we sorted out food cans and put them in certain boxes, containers. And Wednesday, we went to a camp called Kingdom Camp, and we pulled weeds and for landscaping and all that, and we clipped them, and we had to pick all the pieces of the leaves up. And then Thursday, we went to the church that got flooded, and we met the pastor, and he was so nice. He told us stories and everything. And when we cleaned out his office for him, he walked in and had to walk right back out because he was speechless. And it's been a fun week. It had been a fun week.
What we saw God today was, I mean, not today, but this week, it was in the pasture that he was very nice, and we were sitting around. He was just telling us stories and everything, and yeah.
Good job. Good job, girls. The you'll see some pictures of the food bank, but the food bank that we worked at was this huge warehouse, and it actually services three states and 37 counties. And so, I mean, there was just an amazing amount of food. I've never been in a situation like that before. The 4x4 pallets that were about 8 feet high, all with the wrap around it, and it was just various food. It wasn't just like a pallet of canned food. It was like all kinds of different food. And these girls worked so hard to, you know, take box by box, and we'd go in and take a break, and we'd come back, and the forklift guy would have brought more. So we'd start again and do it. But it was a great experience to work with them. A lot of them, it was their first work trip, and they definitely made an impact in Memphis. So thank you, girls. Now, I'm aware of our time, but I really want you to see the slideshow. We have hundreds and hundreds of pictures, and I have to give credit to Jennifer and Paul because they were up until about 2 this morning getting this slideshow ready for you to watch. And it's just a glimpse of what we did this week, not only on the work site, but also some fun things that allowed us to learn more about the Memphis area. So we hope you enjoy that.
These are words to build a life on. These are your words, how can they be mine? These are words to build a life on. These are your words, I want them to be mine. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the weak, blessed are the ones who can barely speak. Blessed in your hurt now, blessed in your pain, blessed when your teardrops are falling down like rain. Blessed when you're broken, blessed when you're blind, blessed when you're fragile, when you have lost your mind. Blessed when you're desperate, blessed when you're scared, blessed when you're lonely, blessed when you fail, blessed when you're beat up, blessed when you're bruised, blessed when you're tore down, blessed when you're used. These are words to build a life on. These are your words, how can they be mine? These are words to build a life on. These are your words, I want them to be mine.
have a feeling we should be dealing with the facts, sweats dripping from the ceiling. In fact, step three is so whack.
Sight.
Now flip the track back.
How's it going? Been listening to the tracks. They sound really great. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Those are memories that'll last a lifetime. So on behalf of Ignite, we want to thank you for allowing us to represent this church in Memphis and everywhere we go. The reality is we know that the only reason we can go is because of your support, both through money that's given and your prayers. So we want to thank you for allowing us to have this awesome experience of not only the fun stuff that we did, but really bringing hope and healing to people who don't have a lot of hope. So thank you very much for allowing us to do that. on the second day that we were there, that Sunday, we stayed at the Get Well Road United Methodist Church in South Haven, Mississippi. And we worshiped with them that Sunday morning and went to their Sunday school. And, wow, talk about being hospitable. They're an amazing church. They fed us breakfast and welcomed us into their church home. And they have a tradition at the end of their church that people stand and they hold hands. And so we're going to do that here for a song of invitation. And we're going to sing a song that Gary has brought to us as a youth group. And like I said, first service, as long as I'm the youth director here, this song will be kind of our theme song for all of our mission trips, and that is Sanctuary. So if you can stand, grab across the aisle, grab a hand, and let's be connected as the body of Christ as we sing Sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a testimony, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living testimony for you. Lord, prepare me to be a missionary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a missionary for you.
Amen. Please be seated. As the ushers prepare to receive our tithes and our offerings, it is important that you know that reality says the only way that these things take place is not only because of adults that are willing to go with the youth, but the whole church willing to open up their pocketbooks, to open up their billfolds, and to make it possible for them to go and to change lives. So, if we as a church want to continue changing lives here in Warsaw, in the state of Missouri, and around the world, please allow God to open up your heart as the ushers receive our tithes and our offerings.
We'll sing the chorus of I Am Free as our closing song.
That's the echo portion. I invite you to echo with me. I just want to say as we close worship today, these youth are leaders, and we need to, as a church, look at them as leaders. We need to listen to them. We need to get ideas from them to make our church grow and to change lives. And so I invite you to maybe open up a new chapter in your life in listening to these younger voices as leaders, because they are. Now, I don't want you to be misled here. A lot of these youth teach people how to drywall and how to mud and things like that. So don't be misled by their youth, as 1 Timothy says. Make sure you understand they are leaders and they are teachers. So go from this place knowing not only that you make a difference in people's lives through this church and through the youth group and other ministries, but you personally make a difference in other people's lives. You have a choice. You can bring healing and wholeness to people's lives, or you can bring brokenness to people's lives. That is our choice. And I hope we choose to bring healing and wholeness. Amen? So go from this place and be the hands and the feet of your Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shalom to you.